Okay, we're on the Flamma Gimel Amid Beis. We're finishing up the story about Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, and we're up to the fourth line from the bottom, fifth line from the bottom, the last word on the line. So after Rav Shimon Bar Yochai came out of the cave, Amar, he said, Hoel v'Israchish Nisa, now that a miracle has been performed for me, right, I survived in the cave for 12, 13 years, Ezel Iskin Milsa, I will go and fix something for the Tzibur. Like we had on Friday's daf, Yaakov felt, he said, Katonti mikol hachasadim. I am lessened, I am smaller because of all the chesed that was done for me. So because of all the chesed that was done for me, maybe nisim were done for me, and therefore I lost zechus in Olam Haba. So we're going to see over here that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai felt the same way. A miracle was done for him, they felt that maybe he's going to have a less of a schar in Olam Haba. The way to counter that was to fix up, to do something for the tzibur. Something selfless, something that would benefit everybody, and that would restore any schar that he might have lost on account of the nace that was done for him. The ksiv, because it says, Vayavo Yaakov Shalin. And Yaakov came back, Shalin, he was complete. The Amar Rav, Shalin Bagufo. Right? The wound that the angel did to Yaakov was totally healed. Amar Rav, Shalom Bagufo, Shalom B'mono, Shalom B'Torasso. He didn't lose any money, right? Anything that Lavan tried to rip him off didn't work out. And he was Shalom in his Torah all the time he spent by Lavan, all the time he spent fighting the Malach and defeating Esav. All that was didn't affect him at all. And why not? Because V'yichen es Pnei Ha'ir. Because when he came into the city, he did something for the city. Amar Rav, Madbea Tikin Lahem, he issued them new coinage to give them prestige. Shmuel Amar Shvakim Tikin Lahem, he built streets for them, he built roads for them. And Rabbi Yochanan Amar Mechitzoth Tikin Lahem, he built bath houses for them. So you see that Yaakov felt that he was lacking something, that his schar might have been a little diminished because of all the nisim that Hashem did for him by Lavan. So he felt if he does something for the tzibur, it'll make up what was lost. So too, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai said the same thing. So Amar, he said, Ikam Milsa Debayel Tzkune, is there anything here that needs fixing up? Anything the tzibur needs? Amrulay, so they told him, Ika Duchta, there's a certain place, the Isbe Safek Tuma, that we don't know if that place, we have a suspicion, we have a tradition, that there's a Safek Tuma there, there's a dead body that died, and we don't know where it is. And therefore, V'islu Tzairu L'Kahanim, it's a very big inconvenience for the Kahanim, Lakufe, they have to go around it. They have to go around the whole marketplace. It's not a cemetery. Had it been a cemetery, the Rashi points out, there would have been nothing they could do. But it wasn't a cemetery, it just maybe one or two dead bodies happened to have been buried there. Not as if the din of a cemetery. So they were trying to be moderate. So Amar, so Rav Shimon Bar Yochai said, Ika inish d'yadi d'ischazek hacha tahira? Is there anybody alive that remembers any time when once upon a time this was tahar? Any areas of this field that I could somehow be matir? So Amalahu Saba, so an old man said, yeah, I remember, Kan Kitzitz Ben Zakai, here Ben Zakai used to cut, Turmese Truma, some vegetables of Truma, meaning Rashi points out that Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakai was a Kohen, so he used to plant Truma, and the Truma that's planted also has a din of Truma, and he would cut it there and eat it there. So you see that Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakai was there, in this place, in certain parts of it. So there was a Chazakah that it wasn't a cemetery, and that certain parts of it were Tahar. So Avat Ihunami, so Reb Shimon Bar Yochai did a similar thing. Kol Hecha Dahavi Kashi, and he Rashi says the whole thing with a nace, that basically he planted these vegetables, and at any spot where there was a mace, the mace rose up to the top, and then Reb Shimon Bar Yochai would mark it off. It was a nace. The whole thing was a nace. Kol Hecha Dahavi Kashi, wherever the ground was hard, Tihare, he was Matahirit, because he knew this was never dug. So nobody was ever buried here. Or Rashi says the whole thing was an ace anyway. And wherever the ground was loose, was soft, Tainei, he marked it off. And therefore he was able to save the area for the Kahanim. So Amahu Saba, so this old man said that, the same old man, Tihar Ben Yochai Beis HaKvaros. Ben Yochai, you're being Tahar, a cemetery. In other words, he's now arguing on Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. 5 minutes ago he said it wasn't a problem. So Amalei, so Rav Shimon Bar Yochai said to him, Il Malei Hayisa Imanu. First of all, you were with us. You were with me when we decided what we're doing. Vafilu Hayisa Imanu. And even if had you been with us, Velo Nimnis Imanu, but you didn't want to do the final psak, the final conclusion, you wanted to back out. That's fine too. Yafa ata omer. Then you'd have a right to say what you're saying. Had you not been with us, or had you been with me, but you didn't want to make the final tzak, you would have a right to argue with me now. Achshav shayisi imanu. You were with me when we made this decision. V'nim nisi imanu. And you were concluded, and you even agreed that, let's say there were people around that disagreed, but you agreed with me. Yomru, zonos mifarchaso zuezu. Even prostitutes, they braid each other's hair. Right? They do favors for each other. They braid each other's hair. Talmidei chachamim lo kolshkein. So the chachamim also don't stick up for each other. And I forgot who pointed out that he called Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai ben Zakkai, which is a slight to call somebody only by their father's name. And he calls him ben Yochai. Like he never gave the proper kavod that they were due. Anyway, Yav ve'enei v'noch nafshei. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai looked at him, and there was some kind of judgment in Shemayim, and this old man died for starting up. Nafach l'shuka. Then Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai went out into the street. Chazir Yehuda ben Gerim. He saw Yehuda ben Gerim, who's the one who told whoever he told about Rav Shimon ben Yochai's statements. And even though we said yesterday, even though he didn't do it on purpose, nevertheless, it's still usur, and he was still deserving of punishment. Amar, so Rav Shimon ben Yochai said, Adai Yesh Lazeb Olam, this guy's still alive, still in the world, right? After 13 years, he's still around. Nasan Bo Einav, he gave him a look, and there was a judgment on Yehuda ben Gerim, v'asigal shelatzamos, and he became a heap of bones. And Rashi points out that means that he looked like he had been dead for a very long time, just bones, not even flesh, as opposed to the first person. There's a whole machlokes who this Rabbi Yehuda ben Gerim was. Tosfos on Amud Beis says there's a whole story where Shimon ben Yochai gave kavod to Rabbi Yehuda ben Gerim. Maybe it's a different person. Here he's called Yehuda ben Gerim. Over there he's called Rabbi Yehuda ben Gerim. It might be two different people. Yeah, it's the same guy.
So he died
because he's Lashon? Right, which all leads back to that someone who speaks Lashon Hara is Chayav Misa. It all goes back to that statement that we had yesterday. Even though he didn't do it on purpose. He didn't intend to be Malshon or Shirin by Achai. He just repeated it to his parents. Hey, look, listen to what happened today in Shul. And that alone warranted it. Okay, the Mishnah. Gimel Devarim, there are three things. Tzarech Adam Lomer B'soch Beiso Erev Shabbos Im Chashecha. There are three things a person should say in his house before it gets dark. Rashi points out, don't say it too early, because then everyone's going to forget before Shabbos. Hey, say it at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, nobody's listening. Right before Shabbos, you should say it. What are they? Isartem, did people give Truma, Meiser? And as the Rav said yesterday, because normally you don't have to give Meiser if you're eating an Achilas Keva, an Achilas Aroi. If it's a temporary eating, you don't have to give Meiser. However, on Shabbos, everything you eat is considered Oneg. There's no such thing as an Achilas Arai. And therefore, anything you're going to eat is going to require Meiser. I don't know about Yontif. Right. It might be a different type of Arai. Next one. Iravtem. Was an Erev done? Right? And Rashi says it's both Erevs. Erev Techumen and Vechatzeros. That Rashi is going to be very problematic in 15 minutes. And the third one is Hidliku es Haner. Did you light the candle? So Rashi points out the first two are asked as a question. Please don't forget, you know, did you take off Maisa? The husband asks the wife, did you fix up the Erev? And Hidliku es Haner is a statement. And Hidliku es Haner, because Rashi says that wouldn't be a question because you can see if they're lit or not. That wouldn't be a question. That would be a statement. Right, but obviously, then why would he do that? He let them go see, are they lit? So then he reminds his wife, by the way, light. The Rama already says that the question of Isartem is not asked anymore because there's no Maaser doesn't apply today. Iravtem also you could question whether or not it applies. I mean, people do have Eruv, but some people give Eruv. Most people today are set up their Erevs either Erev Pesach or right before Rosh Hashanah, and they last for the whole year. So the Sefer Minhag Yisrael Torah wonders why nobody is Noheg to ask their wife or to question, you know, to say to their wife, please light. So it's an open Mishnah, it's a Paskin in Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber quotes it, how come no one does it? What? He says here that... Also, the Mechaber also adds. He also adds about being machrish challah. That's one another thing that you should ask. Don't forget to be mafresh challah, because then you stop on Shabbos. And then he says over here, Omnam, Masha ein nizharin lomer lehem edliku es haner. Why people are not nizer, are not careful to say that to their wife, lo matzasi tam borer. I can't find a good answer. The ayin masha kasav be'eshel avram, b'menhagi chasam sofer, that chasam sofer used to say to the rabbanit, he used to say to her, make Shabbos. And that could include everything. That's what he suggests. So maybe when you tell your wife, is everything ready? That includes hadlakas haner, and includes everything. Otherwise he finds it a little difficult why people don't generally do that. Shalom bayis, right. Well, we're going to get to that. You should all these things you should do in a nice way. Now, safek chashecha, safek eira chashecha. If it's a safek, whether or not it is dark yet, it's a safek whether or not it's Shabbos yet, which is the period of bein hashmashos, which is a safek you don't know, we don't know the halacha, what that time period consists of. Then, during that time period, ein ma'asrei es havadai, you are no longer allowed to be give off ma'aser on something that definitely needs to have ma'aser taken off. Why Rashi points out? Because it's a tikkun of a, it's like you're being masakin a kli, and it looks like you're doing something very, very substantial, and therefore during Bein HaShemashos, it's no longer permitted.
So does it turn to Motsana or not?
Probably yes.
Driving?
1 minute, we're going to get to everything. They might be in a kalim, and you can't be tovel kalim for the same exact reason. Especially in those days, it was really talking about tumma, that the keli was tame, and it can't be used without being tovel. You can't do that during bein hashmashos. Same reason, because it looks like you're being mitzaken in a kli, which is a serious benefit to the kli, and it's bein hashmashos. Maybe it's Shabbos. The ein madlikin es haneros. You certainly can't light the candles anymore. And Rashi says it's a lo zu ve'ein tzarach lo mazu, right? That's a d'oraisa, lighting a candle. If you can't do the d'rabbanon of fixing up kalim, you certainly can't do the d'oraisa of lighting candles. But avo ma'is v'nes ha-demai, you can take off demai, because demai is only, Rashi points out, most people gave ma'iser, most amaratzim gave ma'iser, it was only a small percentage, so it doesn't really look like you're doing anything. And ma'arvin, you can make an eruv. And the Gemara is going to say, but wait a minute, we just said you can only do an Eruv if it's one of the three things you should say before dark is do an Eruv, which seems to imply that once it's already Bein HaShemashos, you can no longer make an Eruv. And here the Mishnah seems to say you can make an Eruv. We're going to get to it. And the last thing is Betomnin Es Hachamin, and you can insulate hot food only with things that are not Mosif Hevel. They don't increase the heat. And we're going to get to that in the Gemara as well. The Mechaber quotes all this lahalacha, and he says that you can be ma'aser the dama, you can be tomnin, you can insulate hot food, you can give off an eruv. He quotes eruv and eruv chetzeros, and then he says umutur lomer le'ena yehudi bein hashmashos. During bein hashmashos, you can tell a guy to do things for you. And then he says, "L'hadlik ne'el tzarach Shabbos v'chein lomelo lasas kol malacha shehilu tzarach mitzvah." You can tell the guy to do anything for you that's for a mitzvah. Oh, shehu torud, or it's something that bothers you, v'nechpa d'leha, and you're really distraught about it. So in the Mishnah Berurah says, for example, a yardside candle that has nothing to do with Shabbos, but that's going to upset you very much. Or let's say Rabbi Ribiad has all these situations where you forgot to turn on the air conditioning, or the heat, or the car's running. All these or valuables are in plain view, and you want them hidden. All these things are going to bother you. All these things have to do with maybe owning Shabbos and a great hefsid. All these things you can ask the guy to do for you during Bein HaShemashos. And the Mishnah Berurah points out, ulashar dvarim, everything else, she'aser midrabanan chutz mi'elu, except for the following things that we mentioned over here, din Bein HaShemashos kimo Shabbos atzma. Bein HaShemashos is just like Shabbos, im lo shehu dvar mitzvah, unless it's for a mitzvah. O shar dochuk, or other necessary need. Anything else that you come up with that you need to do during Bein HaShemashos, you can't. So the Mishnah Berurah paskens. I don't know anyone else who argues. If we can have a hosafa from Rabbi Razner tomorrow. So the Gemara says, "Benahani mili." How do we know all this? How do we know you have to tell your family these three things before Shabbos? Amar Yeshua ben Levi, Amar Kra, it says in the Pasuk in Iov, V'yadata ki shalom ohalecha, you should know that there's peace in the house, in the tent, Ufakadato novecha, you should command your dwelling, V'lo sechte, so there shouldn't be any sins. Amar Rabba Bar Rav Huna, Afal Daf to Amar Rabbanon, Shlosh Devarim Tzarech Adam Lomar, even though the Mishnah says there are three things that you should say, Tzarech Lemamrinhu Binichusa, you should say them with calmness. And don't yell, and don't shout, and don't be commanding. The reason why you might have thought that was because the Pasuk uses the Lashon of Upakarata, and you should command, like a general. But the Gemara, yeah, even though the Pasuk says that, don't speak that kind of harshness. Do it binichusa, do it binachas. So that the women should be ready to accept it. Right? Amr of Ashi, Analo Shmieli Hadarabba Bar Rav Huna. I didn't hear that Rabbi Bar Rav Huna said that, but nevertheless, Vikiyamti Misvara. I thought of that anyway from Misvara. So now we're going to discuss this theory that we had in the Mishnah about Erev. So the Gemara says, Hagufa Kasha. The Mishnah itself is contradictory. Amarta, because first it says Shlosha Devarim Sarach Adam Lomar Besoch Erev Shabbos Im Chashecha. That there are three things you should tell your family before it gets dark. Im Chashecha In, so that means before it gets dark. Yes, Savik Chashecha, Savik Erev Chashecha Lo. But if it's during Bein Hashmashos already, if it's already a Zman of Safek, you should not tell your family anything. V'Hadar Tani, and then it says in the bottom of the Mishnah Savik Chashecha, Savik Erev Chashecha Ma'ariv. You can do an Erev. So what's going on? What? No, it's for you.
No,
it's not for the tzibur. The Gemara is going to give a different answer, similar to what you're saying. The Gemara is going to give a different answer. So, but before the Gemara gives an answer, the Gemara says, Simin, Begufya, Zimra, Tzifra, Bechavla, Demilsa. So many times we've been saying how it's a good segula to say the simanim. They're there for some mystical reason that we don't know. And, well, many times they're there because they just include the following statements that are going to be coming up. This one is the spot where the Shla says his actual famous comment about the Simanim. And listen to what he says. He says, Re'isi harbi b'nei Adam. I see many people. So, kishiyesh simon b'gemara, when there's a simon in the Gemara, ein lom din ha-simon, they don't read it, they don't learn it, they ain't korinoso, they don't even read it. He says, v'chalila lasos kein, chalila, you should not read the Simanim. V'ani choshev ki sodos gedolos, there's great secrets, mirumazim, that are mirumaz b'simanim, in the Simanim, Nosef al hapshuto, in addition to the pshat, mashemor ha-simon, what's included in that simon, what's taught by that simon. V'hinei zman aruch, for a long time, nitztarti b'ma'od, I worked on one simon, al simon echad, b'shabbos, and b'perek b'mem adlikid aflam adalad. I spent a lot of time figuring this simon out. This simon includes statements that go for 100 daf. They go all the way to daf kuf something, kuf mem something. Over 100 daf, this simon stretches. And he says he spent a long time, shalo hevanti osa, I didn't, couldn't understand it. V'ne'elam kima'at me'ene kolchad, and I gave up. Ad shezachisi and v'kibalti pirusho, until I finally got it. So this is the spot where he actually talks about the simanim, and we always know to read them because of the shla. Anyway, so back to the question. So we had the question: why does the Mishnah seem to contradict itself about Eruv? So Amrav Abba, Amrav Chiyah Bar Ashi, Amrav Lo Kasha. It's not a kasha. Kan be'eruv etechumen. The Erev that you have to tell your wife about before Shabbat starts, that's Erev Tchumen, about wanting to go longer in the Tchum. Kan Beruv Chetzeros. The thing you're allowed to do, Bein Hashmashos, that's Eruv Chetzeros. What's the difference? So Rashi says, they're both the Rabbanans. Midoraisa, there's no such thing as, well, Midoraisa about Tchum is a Machlokas. But even if you're going to say it to the Rabbanan, it was patterned on a Doraisa. It's based on Psukim. There's a smachtas through Psukim, so it's patterned on a Doraisa. So they were more machmir about it, and didn't want anyone doing it during Bein HaShemashos, because it looks like you're doing something very substantial. But Eruv Chetzeros, which is being able to carry in the courtyard, that the Rabbanan made up by themselves, that you can't do it without an Eruv. They made that out of whole cloth. It's a Gzeru that you shouldn't come to confuse the Eruv Chetzeros with a Mavui, and then you'll confuse a Mavui maybe with a Carmelist, but Meikar Adin, there's nothing wrong with it. So since that is only nothing wrong with it, it doesn't look very substantial. So that's one of the exceptions that if it's during Bein HaShemashos, you can do it. That's what Yossi Yoni was saying.
I'm saying, but you know what you're saying in terms of the tzibur, you know, it is a big mindset that not everyone has to have thousands going on.
But the Gemara says exactly the opposite of what you're saying. The Ruvit Chumen you can do during Bein HaShemashos, and the Erev Chetzeros you can. But the Ruvit Chum is for yourself.
You should be able to do it
because for the Rabbim. Okay, maybe that's another reason. Maybe that's another reason. Right. Okay, that could be part of the whole understanding. That could be. Okay. Now, V'amar Rava, Amru Lo Shnayim. If two people come over to somebody and say, save Eruv Aleinu, make for us an Eruv Yitzchum, so we can travel further than our 2,000 Amos. So Le'echad Eruv Ala B'bod Yom, for one guy, the Shliach made an Eruv while it was still day, U'le'echad Eruv Ala B'en HaShemashos, and for the second fellow, the Shliach made an Eruv and it was already B'en HaShemashos. The halacha is that Eruv must be in existence at nightfall. If something happens to the food after nightfall, it's not a problem. But at nightfall, the Eruv must be there. So for one guy, he made it during when it was certainly still day. For the other guy, he made it when it was already B'nai Shemashos. Now, you can't make an Eruv when it's already Shabbos. So for the second guy, already he made it during B'nai Shemashos. Now, Zesh Eruv Alav Mibod Yom, for the fellow who the Shliach made the Eruv during the day, Nechal Eruv B'nai Shemashos. The Eruv was eaten, Rashi says either by a dog or by someone else, it was eaten during B'nai Shemashos. So now, at nightfall, there was no Eruv there. Right? And for the fellow who the Shliach made the Eruv during B'nai Shemashos, Nechal Eruv Michashecha. The Eruv was eaten when it got dark. Tosfos points out it's irrelevant if it was eaten when it got dark. It just because if it was there during B'nai Shemashos, if B'nai Shemashos is day, then it's fine. It's irrelevant when it was eaten. And the only reason why he concludes eating here is for parallelism. Anyway, so the Gemara says, Shneim Kana Eruv. The Eruv is good for both of them. Right? So the Gemara says, how can that be? Manavshach. If Ben HaShemashos is considered day, so then Basra Likni, the second fellow, has a good Eruv, because it was made during Ben HaShemashos, and it only got eaten at night. So it was good. When nightfall came, it was an Eruv there. And the Kamalo Likni, the first guy's Eruv was no good, because it was made during the day, and it was eaten during Ben HaShemashos. So he didn't have an Eruv. The E Ben HaShemashos Lailahu, and if Ben HaShemashos is night, then Kamalo Likni, the first Eruv is good, because it was eaten during B'nai Shemashos. B'nai Shemashos is night, it's fine. And Basra Lo Likni, but the second guy's Erev is no good, because it was made on Shabbos. So what's going on here? So the Gemara answers, B'nai Shemashos Sveikahu. B'nai Shemashos is a Suffolk. We simply don't know. For Suffolk Darabana Lakula, and Suffolk Darabana we go Lakula. Even though it's the same guy, and the same guy is going to walk into Bezdin and say, this is what I did tonight, today, and the Bezdin can give contradictory psukos to the same fellow for two different people. I know. I thought about that. I don't know. I don't have an answer for that. No, we're talking about Tchumen. Maybe that's what it is, because Tchumen is also Darabanan, right. Now, V'amar Rava, Rava said another thing. B'bnei Ma Amri, why did the Mishnah say, Ein Tomnin B'davar She'eino Mosif Hevel Mishech HaShecha, that once it gets dark, you are not allowed to insulate food in items that do not increase heat, but just keep the heat at status quo. When it gets dark, micha shecha, you're not allowed to do that anymore. Why not? Because gezeira shema yarsiach. It's a gezeira, maybe the food will have already cooled off, and before you insulate it, you'll reheat it. And if you reheat it, you're going to be over a doraisa. So the Amalei Abaya said, ihachi, if that's your concern, then Bein HaShemashos nami nigzar. Then that gezeira should also apply during Bein HaShemashos. Bein HaShemashos, you should not be allowed to insulate anything, because maybe it'll be cool off, and you'll reheat it during B'nai Shemashos. B'nai Shemashos is a suffix. We said before, you can't light candles during B'nai Shemashos. You can't do daraisas during B'nai Shemashos. Very few things you can do during B'nai Shemashos. So Amalei, the Rabbi said back, no, it's not a concern, because Stam Kederos Rochsos Heim. Ordinary pots during B'nai Shemashos are still boiling hot. And it's still boiling hot, so you're not going to reheat it. It's boiling hot. Later on, after it gets dark, then we have a suspicion it might cool off. Then we're scared that you're going to want to insulate it, and before you do that, you're going to reheat it. For Amar Rava, what?
Are they still installed on this point?
No, you're insulating it in other things, in cotton or in different kinds of sand, other items to keep the heat. Amar Rava, mipnei ma amru ein tom the medaver hamosif hevel. Why did we say we're going to have this later on in the parak? Why can't we put something insulate food even in something that is mosif hevel, something that keeps the heat getting hotter and hotter and hotter? I feel it'll be bod yom. Even on Friday afternoon, you're not allowed to do that. Why is that? Gzeira shemi yatmin beremet, because maybe you'll insulate the food in a remet. A remet is a cloth which has coals in there. You'll insulate it in coals. Sheyesh bo gachelas. And a remet is a certain kind of cloth. Sheyesh bo gachelas, and it has coals. And therefore, you can't do it even on Friday afternoon. So amalei abaya, so viyatmin. It's a big deal. It's Friday afternoon. Why can't you do that? So the Gemara says, no, gzeira shem yechata b'gachalim. Maybe you'll leave it there on Shabbos, and it'll start to, you'll be very interested in how the food's doing, and you'll start to stoke the coals and play around with it to make sure that the heat is continuing, and you'll be stoking the coals, and it's a doraisa. It could be extinguishing, it could be reigniting. So because of that gzeira, we don't allow you to insulate food in something that increases heat, even on Friday afternoon. Right, right. We're going to get to all the halacha l'maisa later on in the week. If it's fully cooked, then there's other issues, because you still have a concern that that's going to be later on in the week, Wednesday, Thursday, staff, that if something that gets better with more cooking, for example, chalent, the more it cooks, the better it tastes, the more geschmack it is, that even though it's already fully cooked, you'll still be interested in having it stoked. That's the concern. It's called mitztamek v'yafalo. The more it cooks, the better it tastes. Okay, now we are up to one of the most famous Gemaras in all of Shas, the Gemara of Bein HaShemashos. Tana Rabbanon. A Brisis learned. Bein HaShemashos, the time period of Bein HaShemashos, Safek min hayom, it's a Safek whether it's part of a day, Safek min halayla, it's a Safek if it's partly night, Safek kula min hayom, is it all day, Safek kula min halayla, is it all night. Rashi says there are three Sveikos here. Is it day, is it night, is it both? So Matilin also l'chomer shnei yamim. We apply to Bein HaShemashos the chumrah of 2 days. And the Gemara is going to ask what that means. Ve'ezehu Bein HaShemashos. When is Bein HaShemashos? What is that? Mishatishka hachama, when the sun begins to sink. Right? Shkia comes from the word mishatishka, comes from sinking. When the sun starts to sink. Kol zman shepnei mizrach ma'adimim. As long as the eastern horizon is red, meaning it still has light of the sun, hichziv hatachton, once the lower portion of the horizon starts to turn dark, v'lo hichziv ha'elyon, but the upper portion of the horizon still has light to it. Rashi says that the lower portion darkens first. Right? Bein HaShemashos. That's Bein HaShemashos. Hichziv ha'elyon, if the upper portion of the horizon is already dark, v'hishve latachton, and looks just like the bottom portion, then zehu laila, that's night. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. At the bottom of the Amid, we're going to have a machlokas, what exactly he means in terms of length of time. This is very vague. Rabbi Nechemya Omer, Rabbi Nechemya has a different version of Bein HaShemashos. It's kidei sheyahalech adam mishatishka hachama, from the time the sun begins to sink, chatzi mil. The time it takes to walk, a half a mil. However long that is, that's the length of Bein HaShemashos. And Rashi points out, once that length of half a mil is over, it's Vaday night. That's Rabbi Nechemya. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Bein HaShemashos keheref ayin. Bein HaShemashos is like the blink of an eye. Rashi says like the soft blink of an eye. Ze nichnas v'ze yotze. Day goes out, night goes in. Night goes out, day goes in. Day goes out, night goes in. V'efshi lamod alav. And it's impossible to pinpoint because it happened so quickly. Tomorrow's daf is going to discuss when this Herif Ayin takes place in comparison to other Shitos. Amar Mar, so we just said that Matilat Oso Lachomer Shnei Yomim. We just said that you apply the stringency of 2 days. So Lamai Hilchasa, regarding what does that apply? Rashi says, because let's say if it's Bein HaShemashos and you do a Malacha. So it's a Suffolk whether or not you violated Shabbos. So you bring an Asham Taloi. What's 2 days? It's either Shabbos or it's not. So you bring us a carpet as a suffix. What's the issue of 2 days? So Amar Rav Huna Breid of Yeshua L'Inyan Tumah, regarding the Inyan of Tumah. One minute background. If somebody has a Re'iyas Zav, a man has a Re'iyas Zav, if he has one Re'iyah, he has the Tumah of a Baal Keri, he's tummy for 1 day. If he has two Re'iyos, either on 1 day or on 2 consecutive days, he's tummy for 7 days. If he has 3 Re'iyos on consecutive days, he's tummy for 7 days and he has to bring a carpet. That's the background. So, Kidatnan, we have a mission in Zavim. Roeh Shnei Yamim Bein HaShemashos. Let's say somebody saw 2 days during Bein HaShemashos. For example, Sunday evening and Monday evening. Right? So the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, Safek Latuma Ulakarban. He's Safek Tamei, 7 days. He's also maybe Safek, well, it could be he's only Safek as a Balkari, and he's also a Safek for a Karban. How? Because if he saw Sunday evening and Monday evening. So it could be he saw Sunday, because Bein HaShemashos could be day, and he saw Tuesday, because Bein HaShemashos could be night. So he saw Sunday and he saw Tuesday. That's not consecutive days. He'd only be Tomei as a Balkari. Or, it could be he saw Sunday and Monday. right? Or Sunday and Sunday, or Monday and Monday, or it could be if the Re'iyah lasted through the entire Bein HaShemashos, let's say on Monday evening, then he would have seen Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. So you have a situation where it's all 3 days, therefore Machmir of 2 days, and therefore we're going to be have to bring a carbon misafik, because it could be he saw 3 days. Ra Yom Echad, but if you only saw a Re'iyah on Bein HaShemashos of Sunday evening, then the most it could be is that he saw on Sunday and on Monday. That's the most it could be, right? Then Bein HaShemashos Safek L'Tumah, he Safek for 7 days. He has to sit Safek Tumah Shivas Yom Misafek. As it could be, he saw on Sunday and on Monday. That's what it means. 2 days. So now the Gemara is going to go back to the statement of Rabbi Yehuda, where he seemed to say something which contradicted himself. Hagufa Kasha Amarta. First he said, Ezeu Bein HaShemashos. When is Bein HaShemashos? Mishetishka Hachama. When the sun starts to set. As long as the horizon is still red. Which implies that once the lower horizon starts to darken, but the upper horizon still did not darken, that's night. But in the next line, Rabbi Yehuda continued and said, if the lower horizon darkens, and the upper horizon did not darken, that's also Bein HaShemashos. Only so it seems to contradict. So Amar Rabba, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Shmuel, Kiroch Vitoni, combine both statements and read it as follows: Ezehu Bein HaShemashos. When is Bein HaShemashos? Mishatishka Hachama. From when the sun begins to sink. Kol Zman Shefenei Mizrach Ma'adimin. As long as the horizon still has red. Hitzif Hatachton. If the horizon, lower portion of the horizon starts to darken. And the upper horizon did not darken yet. Nami Bein HaShemashos. That's also Bein HaShemashos. But once the upper horizon started to darken, and it looked just like the bottom horizon, that's Lila. That's Lila. That's already night. Rabbi Yosef Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel Hachi Katani. Something similar. Mishatishka Hachama. When the sun starts to sink, Kolzman Pereshne Mizrach Ma'adimin. As long as the horizon is red, that's Yom. That's Vada Yom. If the lower horizon starts to darken, and the upper horizon does not start to darken, that's Bein HaShemashos. Then, and the upper horizon looks just like the lower horizon, that's Laila. Now, they both go according to their own shitos. This is all within the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, who said this whole opinion about having the horizon being red and darkening. Right, it's different. Right, it's different. It's very, very similar. In terms of the actual minutes, it's very similar. We're going to see right now. The Itmar. Shir Bein HaShemashos Bekama. How long is Bein HaShemashos? How long does that period last? This period of Safek. Amar Rabba, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Shlosha Chelkei Mil. Three portions of a mil. My Gimel Chelkei Mil. What does it mean, three portions of a mil? Ilema Tlasa Upalgei Mil. If that means three halves of a mil. So name a mil umechsa. So just say a mil and a half. Right? Ella, Tlasa, Tlasi Mil, three thirds of a mil, so name a mil, so then call it a mil. Ella, what does it mean? Tlasa, what does it mean, three portions of a mil? Tlasa Revie Mila, three quarters of a mil. Three quarters of a mil, the time it takes to walk three quarters of a mil, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is Bein HaShemashos. We had Rabbi Nechemi said a half a mil, now we're up to three quarters of a mil. Rabbi Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Shnei Chelkei Mil, two portions of a mil. My shnei chelkei mil. What does that mean? Two portions of a mil. Ile matrei palgi mila. If that's two halves of a mil, le ma mil. So call it a mil. El the ella trei revoi mila. If it's two quarters of a mil, le ma chatzi mil. Call it a half a mil. Ella, what does that mean? Trei tlase mila. Two thirds of a mil. My benayhu. What's the difference between two thirds of a mil and three quarters of a mil? Ikebinayhu palga de danka. The difference between them is a half of a sixth, which is a twelfth. Which, if a mil is 18 minutes, it's a difference of 1.5 minutes. The difference between two thirds and three quarters. Now, the Tosfos, trei tlase mil, opens up the whole discussion very wide. This Gemara implies that, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the maximum shear of Bein HaShemashos is the time it takes to walk three quarters of a mil. Right? Tosva says, but in Pesachim, Rabbi Yehuda himself says that the time it takes, that the shear of Bein HaShemashos is the time it takes to walk 4 mil. So it's an open contradiction, and we patin like Rabbi Yehuda. So it's an open contradiction in Rabbi Yehuda. There's a huge machlokas how to answer that contradiction. The Gaonim held that Rabbi Yehuda changed his mind. And what he said in Pesachim, he changed his mind, and what we hold, like he says over here in Shabbos, 3/4 mil. Rabbeinu Tam said, no, that doesn't answer the question, and the question is answered as follows. Rabbi Yehuda really said there are two shkiyas. There are two shkiyas. Here he's talking about one shkiyah, and in Pesachim he's talking about a second shkiyah. If we assume that a mil is 18 minutes, right? So 18 times 4 is 72. So Rabbeinu Tam explains Rabbi Yehuda as follows. If you look at the chart now you can tell the chart out. We're not ready for the chart yet. 1 second. He just says that it's 4 mil, and 4 times 18 is 72. The time, the entire process from beginning to end, takes 72 minutes. The only time there's shkia is what Rabbi Yehuda says here, the last 3/4 mil. The last 3/4 mil is about 13.5 minutes. The last 3/4 mil, before those 72 minutes are over, the last 13.5 minutes before those 72 minutes, that's shkia. The 3.25 mil before that is vadayom. So if you look at this chart right now, I did it on yesterday's manim. Yesterday, Hadlokas Neris was at 8:03. One minute. Hadlokas Neris was 8:03. Everyone see that? 8:03. Shkia is at 8:23. Shkia is at 8:23 is a given. Why Hadlokas Neris is 8:03? Well, if we have time, we'll talk about it. If not, Erasmus will mention it tomorrow. But Shkia is at 8:23. So 8:23, it says Shkia number one. From Shkia number one, for the next, you see there's a half a mil, that's the Rabbi Nechemya. Then 2/3 mil, that's the other Shita. And then you have 3/4 mil, it says Tseis Gra. Right? That's the Gaonim, which the Gra Paskin like. That the Gra Paskin like, that after 3/4 mil, after 3/4 mil, it is Vadai Lila. Because Shkia, according to Rabbi Yehuda, lasts for 3/4 mil. So at 8:36.5, at 8:36.5, it is Vada Laila. Now, no. What? Vada Laila, same thing as Tseis. At 8:36.5, according to the Gra, it's Vada Laila. Now, nobody holds like that. Nobody holds like that. Nobody will do Malacha yesterday at 8:36. We daven Maariv at 9:12. That's already, we'll get to 9:12 in a minute. Nobody holds like that. The Gra did. The Mechaber Paskins like Rabbeinu Tam. Now, according to Rabbeinu Tam, if you see on top, it says 3/4 mil, Vada Yom Rabbeinu Tam. From 8:23 until 9:21.5, it's Vada Yom. Certainly day. Shkia begins at 9:21.5 and follows till 9:35, and at 9:35, it's Vada Laila. And nobody holds like that either. Right? Nobody will do Malacha until 9:21.5 on Friday. Nobody holds like that either. As a matter of fact, the Mechaber paskins like that, and there are Achronim that help. They used to practice that way. They used to practice like the Mechaber. The Mechaber says, like the Rabbeinu Tam, till that time period, it's till 9:21.5, it's Vadayom. Rav Moshe Feinstein came up with based on earlier sources, Rav Moshe Feinstein said as follows, the 72 minutes that are mentioned here in the Gemara in Pesachim, which the Rabbeinu Tam quotes, Lahalacha, and which the Mechaber paskins Lahalacha, that was only during Bavel, the part of the world of Bavel, and only during the spring and in the equinoxes, in the spring and in the winter. Every part of the world has to have its own cheshbin of how long it takes for the sun to actually set. And Rav Moshe came up with an opinion of 50 minutes. 50 minutes. He held that from the beginning of Shkia till the end of Shkia is 50 minutes. Therefore, you see over there, 9:13 p.m. is the Tzeis of Rav Moshe within the Shita of Rabbeinu Tam. We all hold like Rabbeinu Tam. We just hold like Rav Moshe's version of Rabbeinu Tam. Some people hold like Rabbeinu Tam straight. They rejected Rav Moshe, and they daven Maariv last night at 9:35. We daven at 9:12. Okay, 9:13, 9:12. We agree with Rav Moshe that within Rabbeinu Tam's version, and that's where Moshe got that's where 9:13, 9:12 came from yesterday. Moshe broke it down on 50 minutes. It's Moshe in Chelek Dalid, Simin, Sadik, Samach Beis, Zman Shkia, Bein Hashmashos, V'Tzei Tachal Chavim. He says, it's a very long tshuva, but he says that in Brooklyn, in America, in New York, in New Jersey, b'chol machom asakayetz. He comes up with a number of achar 50 minutes, after 50 minutes, achar shkia kvar kol hashemayim maleach chavim. The whole night, the whole sky is dark, v'hu choshech, and it's choshech ki be'emsa halayla, like it's the middle of the night. And based on this, Rav Moshe, I think Rav Henkin argued and said it's 50 minutes was a little early, it's really 60 minutes, that's why we dive in Ma'ariv at 50, so that by the time 60 is over, by the time 60 comes, we're done.
What about seeing three stars?
The three stars issue is why I've oversimplified it. That's the problem with the Gra. That after at 8:36 and a half, there are no three stars. That's the problem with him. And Rabbi Rosler will go into this more tomorrow. That's the problem with the three star. Tomorrow is all about the three stars issue. We don't know what size stars, big. What's the difference between a big and a little? It's very difficult for us to figure that out. And maybe in northern parts of the world or in Bavel, it might have been that after such a time, you can see three stars. I know in Israel, the sun sets very fast. Unlike America, where it takes a much longer, it's a much longer process. Ramosha's 50 minutes, if you take 50 and you divide it by 4, you get a 12 and change. 3/4 of that is 9 and change. That's Ramosha's famous kula of 9 minutes. 9 minutes after Shkia, he held, you could till up to 9 minutes, you could still wash the Shalosh Shudis. Maybe a woman could still do a Hefzik Taira, because according to the Rebbeinu Tam, it's certainly day. And according to the Gra, that's only a Suffolk, and it's all Set Sveika, so he was Makel in extreme cases. That's where those 9 minutes come from. That's where the Ramosha's time comes from. What do you mean? Because we don't want to. When it comes to, we wait. No, because you can't do malacha. You can be mekabel Shabbos early. That's where the 8:03 comes from. So 8:03 is at Lakas Neros. Where did 8:03 come from? So there's a Rishon, the Urayim. The Urayim held. He's a unique shita. No one agrees to this. But the Urayim held that the 3/4 of a mil that the Gemara discusses here take place before Shkia. It's 13.5 minutes before Shkia. So at 8:23, it's already certainly night. Because of the Urayim, that's why people are nohag to light candles 13.5 minutes, then already with Tosefa Shabbos, having Shabbos a little early, that's where the 18-20 minutes comes from. It all comes from to try to include the Shita of the Urayim. No difference. Just how many minutes do you want to have for Tosefa Shabbos. The other difference will be, how long is a mil? So on the bottom you have, there's a three machlokas, how long a mil is. Either it's 18 minutes, 22 and a half, or 24. So if you have the most machmir sheet of 24 minutes for a mil, so 3/4 of that is roughly around 20. That's where that comes from. So all the chumers on top of chumers, that's why people light candles so early. Right. 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 We always put that on our calendar 20 minutes. So if it's 18, hopefully people will at least follow the your AM according to the minimum shita. So we always make it a few minutes earlier. If you see some shuls, they dive in Ma'ariv at ridiculous times, very, very late times, it's because they're holding that it's 24 minutes. And they hold like Rabbeinu Tam without Ramosha, so therefore it's 96 minutes. And that's why some shuls, and they dive in very, very late. It's all because of this. Well, everything has a reason. That's it. Because if you have follow every chumra under the sun, people rely on Rav Moshe Feinstein.
Yeah.